They, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you'll be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note that place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kaisa. Well, it's good to open God's word and read it together. Before we do that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us this narrative of Ruth. We pray that as we read your word, we'll be obedient before your word and your spirit will work in us. And we pray that, please help me to be clear and faithful to your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as modern city people, I wonder if you are like me. Always feel uncomfortable when we need to ask for help. Seeking help from others makes me nervous. It makes me uneasy. It makes me feel that I'm vulnerable and is not in control of the situation. And this is probably something that I picked up from my family. Funny story. The reason why I went to Australia to study is not because I want to do something unique that only Australia unis offer. It's not because I've been there before and I really like it, I want to go back, even though it's a good place. It's not even because it's cheap to study there, it's cheaper to study there compared to other countries. The reason we picked Australia is because I have relatives in the U.S. and in Canada. And my mom thinks that if I study there, I will trouble my relatives. I will cause chaos. I will need them to look after me. And so she doesn't want me to trouble anyone. So we picked Australia, a place I know no one, and I can't trouble anyone we know. And I wonder if a lot of us today here have this mentality as well. Maybe not as extreme, but we are more than happy to help others, but we don't like being helped. We share joyful moments with our friends, our families, but hide our needs, our sorrows. We want to be self-sufficient. We take pride in our own ability, our ability to provide for ourselves, our ability to be in control. And I wonder if this is actually not a very godly characteristic. Well, we are currently in the sermon series of Ruth, and in today's passage, we'll see that the two characters, Naomi and Ruth, are not in control of the situation at all. In their pursuit of rest, there's no other way but to put themselves in a risky, vulnerable situation, a situation full of uncertainties, a situation where seeking outside help is the only option to them. So we'll go through a sermon in these 3 points. First, the pursuit of rest. Second, the encounter. And then third, the better redeemer. At the start of our passage today, the writer spelled out the quest for us. Naomi is to pursue rest for Ruth. We've come to our first point, the pursuit of rest. So in verse 1, come to me to verse 1 of the passage. Verse 1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home," or in the ESV, "I must find rest for you, where you will be well provided for." Naomi wants to find a husband for Ruth to provide for her. And how would they pursue this rest? First, Naomi states out two facts. In verse 2, fact number one, the person, Boaz. Boaz is a kinsman of theirs. And fact number two, the time and the place. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. And then Naomi lay out her plan. What is Ruth to do? First, in verse 3, wash, perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. That is to make Ruth as attractive as possible. Second, wait till Boaz has finished eating and drinking to allow Boaz to be in his best mood so that to lower his resistance. Third, note the place he's lying. It would be disastrous if in the dark Ruth approached the raw man it's bad. And so Naomi asks Ruth to make sure where Boaz lies down. And finally, uncover Boaz's feet and lie down. What's the purpose of this? Within the context, comparing this with Ruth's request in verse 9, "Then spread the corner of your garment over me," I think this probably is a symbolism of Ruth's proposal to Boaz for marriage. Well, this is the plan of Naomi. What can possibly go wrong, right? I think just everything. Ruth might be seen. In the dark, she might go to the wrong person. She might approach Boaz too early. Others, the workers, might still be awake. And even if Boaz finally identifies Ruth, he, in the dark, might take advantage of her. He might misunderstand her or reject her. This is a very risky plan, full of problems and uncertainties, to which one of the commentators I read actually said, "If one of my daughters suggested this plan to me, I would have said, 'Are you crazy?'" Well, this is the plan laid out by Naomi, a plan filled with risks in the pursuit of rest for Ruth, probably quite a bit of compromises to the situation as well. It is a plan full of uncertainties. A plan once gone wrong will bring disastrous result. But probably this is the only way for Naomi and Ruth as well. As the two widows are being left in the situation, they don't have many options in their hands. In their desperate need for rest, This might be the only way they have and the only way to resolve the current situation. And so in verse 5, Ruth answered Naomi, said, I will do whatever you say. Well, this brings us to the encounter between Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Boaz. We have come to our second point, the encounter. In verse 6 of the passage, Ruth, went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. And in verse 7 and 8, everything goes according to plan. After Boaz finished eating and drinking, he lied down according to their plan. And Ruth, without alerting anyone, managed to approach Boaz quietly, uncovering his feet and laid down there as well. And in the middle of the night, Boaz finally gets woken up and realized a woman is lying at his feet. And so he asked, oh, who are you? And it is at this point that, surprisingly, Ruth didn't completely follow Naomi's instruction. Instead of waiting for Boaz to tell her what to do, in verse 9, she took things into her own hands. She said to Boaz, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer. Well, this might be a funny saying to us, but most likely a rather common expression back in the Israelites' time. In Ezekiel 16, when describing the metaphorical marriage between the Lord and Israel, Ezekiel used the same phrase in verse 8. The Lord says, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you. Spreading the corner of one's garment over someone means marriage, and Ruth is here boldly proposing to Boaz. Well, as a servant to her master, a foreigner to a native, an uninvited visitor to the owner of this threshing ground. This is the risk Ruth is taking. She could be taken advantage of by Boaz. She could be misunderstood and get shooed off by Boaz and embarrass herself in front of all of Boaz's workers. What gives her the boldness, the confidence to make this request to her master? I think it is her trust, her dependence on God's covenant law. From Ruth mentioning of the guardian redeemer, from Boaz's reply, the kindness, the covenant love that Ruth has shown, I think the writer is telling us that Ruth is not pursuing her own rest. She's relying on the provisions of God, like the one in Deuteronomy 25, which says, God says, a kinsman should marry his brother's widow and fulfill his duty as a brother-in-law to her, so that the name of the brother will not be blotted out from Israel. Ruth is seeking rest for both her mother-in-law and herself. She is trusting in God's system, trusting Boaz will follow what God has set up for his people. Or rather, trusting that if she relies on God's covenant, God will provide for them. And her trust gives her the boldness to face the uncertainties. Her trust on God's covenant gives her confidence to make her request to Boaz. And under God's providence, Boaz is someone who keeps the covenant of God as well. Notice Boaz's reply. He immediately points out Ruth's covenant law. Covenant love, sorry. He recognizes Ruth is asking more than marriage, but a guardian redeemer for Naomi's family. He didn't take advantage of Ruth. He calms her fears and praises her for her noble character. In verse 12, he focuses on God's covenant law, that there is a kinsman, a guardian redeemer closer than himself, and he, Boaz, makes an oath to see Ruth redeemed. As the Lord lives, he said, he will make sure Ruth gets redeemed, whether by the nearer guardian redeemer or by Boaz himself. Ruth and Boaz, they are on the same page. There's not only romance between them, but both of them seek to follow God's covenant. And this emphasis is shown in the next morning when Boaz sent off Ruth with 6 measures of barley. What are the barleys for? In verse 17, it is for Ruth to not go back to her mother-in-law empty-handed. Boaz has taken Ruth's family into consideration by sending the 6 measures of barley to Naomi. He let Naomi know that under God's covenant, he will take up his role as the guardian redeemer. Well, this is our narrative today. By seeking rest under the covenant of God, God turns Naomi's risky plan to a beautiful story, beautiful result. In Ruth's pursuit of rest for herself and her mother-in-law, God provided a redeemer for them, who promised to take the matter into his own hands and would not rest until it is settled. Well, what are we to learn from this passage? A narrative that happened so long ago, a narrative that still operates under an ancient guardian redeemer kind of concept. Well, one point that I think Darren made this morning, which is very helpful, and I'm going to steal it, is that Ruth is not written for us as a guideline to pursue romance. We do not live in a time of the judges. We are not widows in Israel. And God's setup of guardian redeemer doesn't really apply to us. And so we shouldn't take this narrative and apply Naomi's plan to anyone we are interested. Sexual purity before marriage is important, and so even though nothing happened between Boaz and Ruth on the night, there's probably some gray area in Naomi's plan, and hence all the language in this passage of secrecy, quietness, and not wanting anyone to know. Well, there's plenty of other passages from the Bible which teaches us on romance, and so we shouldn't use this passage and not take this passage out of context to apply it on our dating life, romance life. Rather, what we should learn and reflect on from this passage, I think, is Ruth's example, and so how we should walk our Christian walk. Like Ruth, as Christians, we also pursue rest, not get married and living happily ever after kind of rest, but the rest at the end of our Christian journey, that as we walk our Christian walk faithfully, that we'll fight the good fight, so that at the end of our Christian journey, when we face our master, he will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." As Christians, this is the rest we pursue. And we know that this race is not easy. It's not easy to keep our faith to the end. There will be times when we are lost. We walked the wrong way, and it feels like there's no way out. There will be times when we face our innermost struggles, our deepest secret, the disgusting bit that we want to hide from everyone else. Times when we don't know how to continue our way, our journey, when there seems to be little hope, when we get completely burnt out and want to give up. Brothers and sisters, how should we deal with all these difficulties in our Christian walk? I think it is the trust that Ruth has demonstrated for us in this passage. Not the blind faith which says if you trust enough, if you have enough faith, God will give us anything. God will give us a Ferrari. But like Ruth, recognizing her vulnerableness, recognizing that she is not in control, that she cannot attain rest by herself. And so hold on to the covenant of God, the covenant that God has set up, and trusting that if we choose to live God's way, even in a hopeless situation, a situation like Ruth's and Naomi's, two widows without anyone providing for them, God will still provide for them a redeemer. And friends, we have an even better redeemer than Boaz. Ruth has no certainty how Boaz will reply to her when she says, spread the corner of your garment over me. She wouldn't know what kind of response she's getting, whether he will say yes, whether he will reject her, whether he will take advantage of her, whether he will make a scene and embarrass her, and from then onwards, no one would want to marry her anymore. Ruth has no idea what will happen. But we have a better redeemer, a redeemer more noble than Boaz, who we can have certainty that he will redeem us. And in fact, he has redeemed us. A redeemer who has spread the corner of his garment over us by dying for us on the cross. Well, friends, before Jesus, our Redeemer, are we willing to let down our pride? Are we willing to be vulnerable before him? Are we willing to trust him even in situations that contain risk, even if we need to give up control over our own life? Well, there's a prayer I really like, and I find it really helpful every time when I don't seem to have enough faith in God, when I don't seem to trust God enough. In Mark chapter 9, there's a man who has a son possessed by an evil spirit, and the spirit would seize his son and throw him to the ground, makes his son foam at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and using all kinds of different ways to torture his son, to try and kill his son. And the father, who loves his son so much, brought his son to Jesus, begs Jesus to save his son, saying, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus replied, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. And how did the father reply Jesus? He said, I believe, help my unbelief. He acknowledges his own shortcomings, his weakness, and asks Jesus to help him. Brothers and sisters, this is the faith we need. Not a faith that depends on ourselves, but recognizing that our need of a redeemer. Acknowledging that by ourselves we are not enough, we are not in control. And so, just like Ruth's example, to trust God's covenant, to trust in the Redeemer that God has given us, and seek help from Jesus, our Redeemer, as we face our weakness, our shortcomings. Let's pray and make this our prayer. Father God, we thank you that we have an even better Redeemer than Boaz, and he has already redeemed us. And we can be certain that we are redeemed. Father, we ask that as we walk our Christian walk, we can, trust in your Redeemer, the way that you have given us. And that, when we approach our weakness, we will not use our own ways, use our own means, use our own control to solve the situation, but really to ask for your help and rely only on your help. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.